This is Digital Dave, and I'm speaking with Mr. Andre Birchberg of Solar Impulse, a consortium, I guess I could say, who are attempting to fly around the world on purely solar power. Now, that's quite a task you've made for yourself there.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's ambitious, but that was the purpose of the project. But it's also to demonstrate what we can do with the existing technologies, and specifically what we can do with renewable energies. You know, if we can fly around the world with a solar-powered airplane, we can certainly use these technologies for many applications on the ground. And so that's also the message that we'd like to convey with this project.
Now, I'm assuming this is a manned aircraft, or is it unmanned?
No, it's a manned aircraft, because as you certainly know, many unmanned solar-powered aircraft have been developed, flown over many even days and nights. But this is the first time that we attempt to fly day and night, but with a manned solar-powered airplane.
Now, it's not going to be nonstop. You will be landing from time to time. Is that correct?
It is correct. I think it would be much too difficult to try to fly nonstop around the world with such an airplane. You have to realize that, first, that's an airplane that will be flying at quite low speed, about 40 knots in average, without counting for the winds, of course. It would take at least 15 days to fly around the world nonstop, which would be a very long journey for only one pilot on board of this airplane. But the second difficulty is, as you can imagine, a solar-powered airplane has to get quite a lot of sun, and to steer this airplane around the world nonstop and have him being in a sunny environment every morning for the airplane to be able to recharge the batteries, I think this also would be quite a big challenge.
Yeah, the weather never cooperates that long around here. I don't know how it is in Switzerland.
Well, that's true, but if we have better technologies, which certainly we can expect in many years, we could fly this aircraft at high altitude day and night. And of course, this would allow to fly above the weather. But with the current technologies, and specifically the existing battery technology, we have to fly in such a way that we climb during the day to store energy in altitude, but we have to fly down during the early part of the night, and fly the rest or the remaining part of the night at much lower altitude. I mean, about, for example, flight level 100, so 10,000 feet. And of course, in the morning, we run the risk to be under a cloud cover flying at this altitude. But with better technology in the future, we can expect to fly much higher.
Well, you're saying that 10,000 is your lowest operating altitude, that you're going to routinely be operating at higher altitudes.
We will climb up to, yes, about 30,000 feet during the day. So that's almost the altitude at which airliners are flying. And the purpose of it is really to store part of the energy in altitude, which saves quite a lot of weight if you don't have to add batteries for this part of the flight.
Yeah, that's an intriguing way of, I wasn't thinking of altitude as being used as energy storage. I figured you had enough excess solar capacity on board to power it and charge at the same time, but I guess you don't.
No, we do. I mean, collecting energy with the current solar cells we have is not so much an issue. The limiting factor is still the battery technology. It has improved quite a lot since we started the project. We started the project about 5 years ago. We tried at the time to project ourselves in the future and so made some estimates, but we are currently above these estimates, fortunately, not the other way around. And we can still expect some development, but it still requires about 400 kilograms of batteries on board of this airplane, so that's quite a lot.
Well, that is quite a lot. I'm assuming you're not using lithium polymers then.
We are using lithium polymer batteries. That's what we see still the best technology available at a safe level. There are other technologies under development, but I think it's a little bit too early to have them integrated on board of a manned airplane. I think some technologies have been tested on unmanned airplanes, but with the payload that we have, which is close to 200 kilograms, that's a very big airplane, so that's quite also big volume of batteries required to fly this aircraft, and to run the risk of having technical problems with the batteries is not the right way to proceed, at least currently.
Yeah, I can understand that. Let's talk about the airplane itself. Is this a single motor airplane or multiple engines or motors, if you want to call them that?
When we did the feasibility study, we understood a certain number of things. I mean, first of all, that this airplane had to be extremely modest in its energy consumption, which means that it has to be aerodynamically very efficient. And to get this efficiency, we need quite a large wingspan. And the wingspan of the prototype airplane that we built, which is going to be tested in a few months, is 64 meters, so that's the wingspan of an Airbus 340. That's very impressive.
That is very impressive.
And the total weight, which we can afford, because when you have a wingspan, you have approximately the surface available for solar cells, and you quickly understand how much weight you can carry, and basically this airplane of the size of an Airbus has to have a maximum weight of a mid-sized car. So that's a very low wing loading. So it needs also special ways to special materials, of course, special way to build the structure of the airplane. So we spend quite a lot of time, in fact, to reach this weight budget. And we decided also to try to spread the weights along the wings. And that's the reasons why we have a four-engine airplanes. So we have four motors. Each motor has its own battery systems, has its own solar cells integrated in the wing. So we have four independent systems, which can be connected, of course, between each other with some kind of a cross-feed systems. But that's the way, in fact, to span load, in fact, this airplane, and to reduce, again, the weight of the structure.
Well, I guess also a side benefit of that architecture is, in effect, electrical redundancy. Each propulsion system is independent, so if one fails, it doesn't affect the other three.
It does not, that's true. But as you certainly know, when you have twin or four-engine airplane, when you have a problem of the external engine, you almost have to shut down the symmetric engine on the other side because you have difficulty to cope with the asymmetry. But by having four engines, of course, it gives enough redundancy to be able to continue flying, maybe not to continue the mission, but at least to continue flying and to reach an alternate airport.
Right, and even if you did have to shut them down, I'm sure this thing has a tremendous glide ratio.
Well, it has, and it has a very low sink rate, so we have quite a lot of time available. If you are really flying at maximum altitude, it takes many, many hours, in fact, for the airplane to come down, so you're not in a hurry to get organized on the ground.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got some time. Well,
excuse me?
It sounds like you have plenty of time to react to the problem.
You do, yes. You do. Well, the glide ratio is good, but that's not the one that we really try to improve. To reduce the energy consumptions, you need a low sink rate. And as this airplane has a very low speed, cruise speed, its sink rate is very low, almost half of the sink rate that you would get on a high-performance sailplane. So that's a way to save quite a lot of energy. But still, in fact, the glide ratio would be about 35.
Okay, that's still really very, very good. The airplane has flown, I understand?
Not yet, no. The airplane has been presented to the media by the end of June. We are doing all the ground tests currently in Switzerland, and we will start to do the first what we call runway flights in October of this year in Switzerland, with a plan to make the first big flight, big flights leaving, you know, airport control zone, either by the end of this year or very early next year. So now we are really entering into the real testing phase, l'heure de vérité, like we say in French, and that's then that we'll see how this airplane has to be flown, what his flight qualities will be, how to handle it from a pilot point of view, and that's, of course, a very exciting time for us.
Yeah, as we would say in America, that's getting pretty serious.
It is. But, you know, after 5 years of heavy work, I think it's time to get into the air now.
I agree with you 100%. I think it's time that we watch you descend into Oshkosh next year.
Well, we hope so. It would be great because we know it's a fabulous event. So, and there are so many wonderful airplanes which have been developed and tested and presented there. I think, you know, this would be a great achievement to be part of this event once, maybe next year, maybe another time, we'll see. But that would be great.
Well, I'm looking forward to that airplane arriving here. And I thank you again for your time, sir.
Great pleasure. Have a good time there.
You got it. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.